back then, if you released a new podcast in 2007, you were going to get on the New and Noteworthy. If you just stayed consistent for 8 weeks, you would get on there because they didn't have 2 million whatever plus podcast on there.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
What's up, my friends? I am recording this quick disclaimer, not in my studio, and it's around the holidays. The kids are playing in the background. They're out of school. And I wanted to just let you know that episodes 132, 134, 136, 138, 140, and 142 are all going to be interview episodes. Instead of recording solo episodes around the holidays, I'm going to go ahead and keep giving you 4 episodes a week for now. But I'm going to have some of the previous recorded episodes that have never aired quite yet play through for episodes 132 to 142. So anyway, I hope you're having a great holiday if you're listening to this around the holidays. And I would say spend some time with your family. But if you ever are going to do something like what I'm doing now, just let your audience know. Just let your listener know. Now let's jump into an interview episode. Thanks.
Welcome back to the Podcast on Podcasting. It's your host, Adam A. Adams. And we are talking with a singer, songwriter today, who also does all of his own music. He's independent, which is pretty rad. And he's got like 1.2 million fans, over 200 million views across his social media platforms. Also started a podcast like back in 2007, had that for a couple of years. And last year, he started back up a podcast called The Marty Ray Project. You can find him at The Marty Ray Project. He's an indie artist, songwriter, podcaster, and will always be independent. You can find those links in the show notes. Just scroll down a little bit. And the main thing that we're going to be talking about today is persistence and determination and how that can allow you to become successful. So with that said, Marty, but take me back to 2007, like quite a while back, 14-ish years ago, maybe a little over actually, and you decided to start your first ever podcast. What was kind of going through your mind at that time?
Well, I just saw that it was the wave of the future. So back then, I had a podcast. I always say I had a podcast before Joe Rogan, before everybody else had one. Like now everybody has one. And I was doing it back then. I'll be honest with you, it was easier back then because there was very few. So the downloads were very easy to get, or they were easier to get. I don't say very easy, but they were easier to get because you had platforms like iTunes and places like that that would promote you if you just had a podcast. Like if you, the first 8 weeks, you were kind of, you were on the New and Noteworthy and people could find you very easily. But the way that started was my cousin, he introduced the idea to me. He said, we should start a podcast. And I said, man, if you want to start a podcast, I'll buy the equipment. You come to my, I had a studio at my shop at the time. I was actually towing cars. That's what I did for a living. I ran my dad's towing service. I know you can't tell by looking at me that I was ever a tow truck driver. You probably think lawyer or doctor, but no, I was actually a tow truck driver, oddly enough. But he said he wanted to do it. I said, come to the shop. I got a studio there. I'll buy the equipment and we'll do it. And he did. He showed up for one show. And so I did the one show with him. And I had just met Darius Rucker at a meet and greet. And I had Darius Rucker sign a thing for him and for me. And Darius Rucker didn't know me at all. I just met him because of a meet and greet. And I handed my cousin that picture because he collects autographs. And he said, wouldn't it be crazy if one day we had Darius Rucker on the show? And I said, that's not out of reach, man. Social media today. And he goes, yeah, right. So he left, never came back. I continued the show. I got a new guest host. And it was about 4 episodes later, I actually got Darius Rucker on the show. And in the back then, I sent that to him. I said, I told you, dude, you should have hung out. And Darius Rucker actually gave some of the best advice back then. I said, what advice would you give an artist, independent artist, trying to be where you're at. And he said, just play, just take every opportunity and don't treat it as if it's has no value. You know, go after it. You never know what could come from it. So I said, all right, I'm gonna start doing that. And I started doing that, and it really changed my life. Now, the podcast lasted for about maybe a year and a half, and we were it was fun. People were loving it, but it was so hard because I was the whole grunt of it, all the work was me, booking the guests and editing the show, recording the show, guiding the show. It was all me. And I had guest hosts. I had my little brother, and I had a friend of ours named Summers. And she was great, and they were great, and they would have helped if I would have let them, but I'm kind of too stupid to let somebody help me, you know? So the problem was it was such a big load, and I was going to take it on forever, however long I had to. But then I had a video go viral, started doing music, and I had a video called All About That Beard, a parody of All About That Bass, go viral, got 2 million plus views. And so then I started focusing on music because my brother stopped showing up, just like my cousin. So I was like, well, forget it. They don't have the same drive as I do. So I'll just go after music. So then I went after music, and then God blessed me to be able to keep doing that and to do it professionally and to make a living doing it until even now. And so then I built this fan base, and I said, I've always loved podcasting. Matter of fact, my dream was to be a radio, have my own radio show, my own talk radio show. So I knew at some point I would start podcasting again, and it just worked out about a year and a half ago that I started doing it again. So
like, when was it when you launched your second show, The Marty Ray Project?
It's actually The Marty Ray Project Chats.
Okay.
I don't know the exact month or day. I think it's multiple times. I could have looked that up. Maybe I could still look it up. But
no problem. You know, I was just curious if it was before or after the pandemic was going on. Like, a lot of people started in like April of 20. And so I was just curious.
I started before.
Okay.
Yeah. Before all that happened. That's why we have a change of co-host again. I thought, well, here we go again. Like, it's the same story. Because I started it with a buddy of mine named Jim Vest, who's a Country Music Hall of Fame steel guitar player and producer. And we were doing it out of his house, and we had guests coming on. And when COVID hit, he's an older fella, so his wife wouldn't let nobody come near him or wouldn't let him go out. So the podcast was like on a hiatus there for a couple months. And then one of the guys who was on the show, who I met on the show, named Chris Wallen, he and I became friends. So I said, man, I got to start this podcast back up. I'm not letting this one die like the other one did. So would you be interested in being a partner in this show, and you, me and you, 50%, whatever we end up earning, if we end up making money, then you get 50%, whatever it is, we own it together and we'll go together. And he said, yeah. So that's what we've been doing, me and Chris Wallen.
I've got tons of questions for you here. One of the things that you mentioned was it was easier back then. What are you doing differently now with this show that you started up with Chris and you're going 50%? What things are you doing differently? How are you approaching things differently? I'm sure you want it to be the type of podcast that grows, that gets in front of people, that doesn't die off like the first one. So if I'm a new podcaster listening to you starting your new show, I'm really curious what you would say to me if I was just getting started, or basically what is Marty Ray doing differently this time?
Well, as far as differently, I'm not doing anything differently as far as my podcast. The format's the same because I loved the format before, and that was it's like a Howard Stern type thing, right? You have a host, a co-host, and sometimes you have other people, friends of the show there, but you always have a guest most of the time. And when you don't, there's still a guest there, even though it's a friend of the show type guest, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's just really trying to get. I describe our show like this. I say it's two entertainers interviewing other entertainers about what it's like being in the entertainment industry. That's what I tell people all the time. So, and we get into some crazy, we got a routine that we do, or we'll start every show off with a fast five, like to break the ice and to let people know that this is not all serious, that it's a lighthearted thing. And now sometimes it does get a little serious. There's some touching moments in some of the episodes, but I like to keep it lighthearted for the most part, but we do ask some hard questions sometimes. That, like with Vanilla Ice, I told him, I said, you got to tell the people about Suge Knight hanging you from the window and stuff like that. Like, you got to tell, because everybody believes that's true, you know. They think that Suge Knight hung him from a window and took the rights to his song Ice Ice Baby, and that didn't happen. But he did tell people in that episode that he knew that, you know, Suge Knight was a gangster and that he knew the deal, and he had to pay to play in New York or wherever it was. So he did that. He paid him money, essentially like protection or whatever. So there's little things like that, little nuggets in there. I like to make sure it's informative and it's interesting, mm-hmm. but also entertaining. Most importantly, entertaining. That's kind of what I, because if it's not entertaining, people are bored. I know that, judging by my experience, if I'm listening to an interview, if it's not entertaining me, then I'm not keeping any of the knowledge that I'm gaining. So I like, it needs to be entertaining first and foremost. That would be my tip to anybody. If it's not entertaining, people are going to turn it off.
So you have these fast five, I think you call them, the fast five. Mm-hmm. Would you mind doing with us on this interview just like one or two of those that come from the fast five with me?
You mean me asking you the fast five?
Yeah, let's try it.
Well, I always prepare the show, but I'll pull up an old episode.
Okay.
Show notes.
So the fast five are different each and every time.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're always different, but I'll pull up. It's really crazy stuff. Like, it has nothing to do with the person. Nothing to do. It's a complete. You're not expecting these questions to be asked. It's very funny sometimes with the way people react. Let's see. We had Uncle Cracker on recently. It's not released yet. But I asked him. I said, "What's your favorite cartoon?"
What did he say?
What's your favorite cartoon?
Okay, my favorite cartoon. It's got to be there's a few from Adult Swim. One of them is called like Futurama. I like that one quite a bit.
That's a good one. Then I said, what would make you valuable in an end of the world scenario?
Oh, food, guns, ooh, no, a Rezvani tank.
You personally,
what I already have.
You know how to grow food? Do you farm?
I'm not very good at it. I don't have a green thumb. So valuable, I guess nothing. That's sad.
That's sad. Terrible.
What's the next one?
The next question.
Skip it.
You should play music right there. That's like, I guess nothing. Hello, darkness.
Wait, what is this? There we go.
Fast five I've ever actually had, to be honest with you. What movie title best explains your life?
I always think of Mr. Holland's Opus, and it's because I'm on the autism spectrum. So I'm a little Asperger's, and I started composing music when I was really young. So Mr. Holland's Opus really makes me think of my own life.
Wow. That's a good one. That's a good movie too. That's a great movie. Favorite fast food burger?
Oh, gee. Good Burger, maybe. For a fast food, Good Burger.
Good Burger? What is that? I thought that was just a movie.
Oh, well, it's a place that, I mean, I know that they're in Florida, they're in Colorado where I live, but they are a lot more expensive than most other burgers, and they just seem like substantial and greasy. Like they're big, they're meaty, and they're greasy. So, and I don't know why, but I'm always like a greasy burger type of person. So
I like grease.
Yeah. Good Burger. You got to try it.
Is it based on did it come after the movie or before the movie?
I'm not sure. I could search for it while we're talking.
I'm going to ask you this last one.
Okay.
What's your weapon of choice in a zombie apocalypse? Now, let me tell you what Uncle Cracker said. You're going to think this is wild. Uncle Cracker said donuts. I don't know why, but I was like, man, I want to be a zombie then. And you're rolling at me.
I want the Rezvani tank. So when I think of apocalypse, I think of the Rezvani tank. It's they range between like around $250,000 and maybe like $650,000. They're built on the same like Jeep chassis like as the Wrangler. It's a bulletproof glass, bulletproof metal. The handles, like that, you can electrify the handles. You can drop, You can drop these like things out of the back while you're driving to pop everybody else's tires. You have infrared cameras. So if it's completely dark and somebody else, you also have a smoke screen. You can make a smoke screen behind you too. But if someone else smoke screened you, you've got these infrared cameras so you can still see without any headlights or anything like that. And they just look freaking badass. So Resvani tank.
I'm about to look that up. I've never even heard of that. I want one of those now. Forget about the zombie apocalypse.
Cool. I like the fast five. That's fun.
Yeah.
I don't like your second question. What would be my like benefit in an apocalypse?
Got you.
I really need to figure this out. I want to be valuable if there is some type of apocalypse. So
yeah, that's right. You need to have some kind of skill, right?
So
it's not going to be valuable in the end time.
Yeah.
When the apocalypse happens.
I would have to say that is entertaining, and that's more entertaining than many of our episodes here. So like if we're a podcaster, and you mentioned that entertainment is one of the most important pieces, you definitely want to add value. You definitely want to, you know, have the interview, but if it doesn't come with the entertainment, one of the things you said is you'll forget all of the content anyways. So what can we do? Like maybe what's one or two things that we can do as podcasters to make sure that our show is entertaining for ourselves, actually, because that was fun for me, but really for our listener.
I think there's something like that in the very beginning that the listener that's going to be comical, has a chance to be comical in the very beginning of the episode. What it does immediately is for the guest that you may not know this guest, but you want them on and they're talented people. I've seen this happen many times, so many times in my podcast, where they come on and they're kind of like standoffish, but then we get in the fast five, all of a sudden it disarms them. They're lightened up. They think, oh, okay, they're loose now. This is not going to be one of those type of shows, one of those same interviews, right? So anything you can do that takes somebody, that takes their mind and starts to interest the actual talent that you have on, all of a sudden they're more into they want to answer any question you have. And they answer it with sincerity and with knowledge, because they don't want, you got to think about certain people. Like even me, I've done 200, I'm not even famous, but I've done 200 interviews this year, right? On podcasts. Oh, so there's people way bigger than me. Like, you know, I had Bert Kreischer on my show and he has his own podcast. He's one of the biggest podcasts. And he did my show, and the very first thing we did was, of course, the Fast Five, but we also talked about how I got him on the show. It wasn't because I knew him, right? It was so hilarious for the people to hear, and I told him, I said, read some of the messages that I sent you on Instagram, and he read those messages, and we were just rolling because years ago, I asked him, because he followed me years ago, and I followed him back. I followed him first, and then he followed me back because of a comment I left or something. And I started at that point. I said, "All right, well, you're going to be on the show then." So I started messaging him, and I said, "Hey, I'd love to have you on the podcast." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, definitely." And that was a year before he was on the show. And so then I kept asking every month. I was like, "Hey, we're booking for this day, this month." And he goes, and he wouldn't answer. And then eventually he would answer and say, "Hey, let's wait till I'm in Nashville, yada, yada, yada." And I said, "Okay." So then he came to Nashville and I said, "Hey, you're in Nashville. Need to get you on this podcast. We're going to love it. It's going to be great." And then he never responded. So we went on, and then eventually I just started making jokes about the whole thing. And I said stuff like, "Here's your monthly Marty message. We need you on the podcast." And then he said in that episode, he goes, "It felt like I was getting to know my neighbor through these messages," and I think that's something else that people are, that they don't know how to do things tactfully, where if you can do it with comedy, you can keep asking over and over. And if you make somebody laugh through the way your tactics of getting them on the show, they're probably going to do your show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and that's the same way with the interview. Because even when we got to the interview, Bert had never spoke to me face to face. He'd never seen. We had never looked at each other. But I immediately disarmed him by, he's a comedian. So I immediately disarmed him by making him laugh. And it was a great interview. And it always is. We just have fun. That's the main thing, is have fun. Don't be nervous. Do your research. One thing I hate about podcasting is I get this every time, and I don't tell people this. You didn't do it, so I'm thankful for that. People will, you'll come on their show. I never do this to a guest. You'll come on their show and you'll say, now tell people about yourself. That's the worst thing that you can do, because you're supposed to already know about the guest. So it's your job to introduce the guest. So I always prepare an introduction to the guest. Now I say, I always tell myself, I want to introduce you, and then we'll get into the fast five. We'll get into the interview. So right off the top, the people that are listening know exactly who this is. This is the highlights of their life, what they've done, not their life, but the highlight of their career. And they don't have to go through. We don't have to spend an hour now letting them introduce themselves, because nobody really likes to talk about themselves or brag about themselves. If they're people like me, I don't like to go through all that, and I don't like to brag, first of all. So it's not like something I enjoy. Okay, well, I've done this. So like, I think that more podcasters need to say, okay, I'm going to have this guy on. I need to know about this guy, and I'm going to introduce him myself. Or I won't get to know him, and I'll just get to know him in the show by asking questions. That's another way, and that's fine too. But when they say, tell us a little bit about yourself, that's the question that every rookie podcaster asks. Tell us about yourself. So I would say, don't ask that question.
I've done it on accident, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 times out of the last probably 100 or so interviews.
Yeah.
And as soon as that comes out of my mouth, that vomit, that puke is coming out of my mouth, I'm like, get it back in. Why did I do that?
Yeah.
Because especially like you ask somebody regardless of you made a couple of really good points, like I should know about you instead of you having to tell. But the one thing that I would really say on my end, what I notice if I say that, or when I used to say it more, when I was more of a rookie, I would say, you know, tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into this. And all of a sudden, I think that it's going to be like a 20-second, 40-second answer. And we're at about 20 minutes in, and they're still, and then I did this, and then I did this, and I'm like, I want to ask a question, man. Like, give me a chance. And I'm like, no, it was my fault. It was all my fault. Yeah. I asked the wrong question. So right. I'm really glad you said the one thing you hate about podcasting or podcasters is them asking, tell us about your background. Like, I completely agree. We should know a little bit about their background. And what I generally do is I start reading, and not that this is right, but you knew this too, Marty, because of our pre-interview. I start like kind of skimming through, asking a couple of questions about a couple of the things, trying to understand like what direction we might be able to take this. And then I'm like, oh, I'm ready. Let's go. 3, 2, 1. And we record. So a lot of good stuff. Hey, going back to, you said it was easier back then in 2007 when you were starting your podcast, I think with your cousin, was it?
That's right.
So, yeah. So during that time, you mentioned that it was really easy to get, you know, into the new and noteworthy category if you're really pushing hard in the first 8 weeks. When you started your new podcast only less than 2 years ago, when you started that show, did you do anything intentionally trying to get into the new and noteworthy, or did you do any push for 8 weeks, or what was kind of your launch plan?
Well, back then, so I was going off of old knowledge here. Back then, if you released a new podcast in 2007, you were going to get on the new and noteworthy. If you just stayed consistent for 8 weeks, you would get on there. And because they didn't have millions and million, two million or whatever plus podcast on there now. So I figured it was the same way. If you stayed consistent with your posting schedule, then you would get that. You would get a spot, even if it's down at the bottom, whatever, you would get a spot on there. That didn't happen. But the plan was still the same. I recorded before I started my podcast at all. I had 10 episodes in the can for two reasons. The one reason was to have that 8 weeks ready to go, scheduled out. That was 100% going to happen. It was scheduled this way. It was happening. But also because there's a stat that says the majority of new podcasts never get past the 10th episode. So I said, well, that won't happen with me because I'm going to record 10 before I even start. So anyway, so then I did that, and I did the 10 episodes, and I knew that, okay, this right here is we're going now, and we're going to get on new and noteworthy. We didn't get on new and noteworthy. But that's why I say that's one of the things that makes it harder. And it's also harder to get downloads now than it was back then, because the podcasters that were there, they were starving for more podcasts. The podcast listeners, I mean, they were wanting more and more podcasts. So they didn't, because it didn't have a plethora. So now you're kind of washed in a sea, even if you're somebody. And I haven't started really pushing mine. Even still, we're in the 51st episode, and I still haven't really started pushing my podcast to my fan base. I've been trying to see how I can build an audience of podcast specific listeners first. So that's where we're at now, but I'm about to start doing that at this point.
So another thing that you said, like as you were starting, and I took tons of notes. I'm going to wrap this up at the end, like just from what you just said, but you mentioned that on that first show, one of the reasons why it kind of died off, or this is what I think you mentioned, is that you were kind of wearing all the hats. Like it was all you, it was you doing, finding the guests, it was you recording, it was you doing the post-production. It was you wearing each and all of these hats. And so it was a ton of work for you to do while your music career was taking off. Now that you're starting this new podcast several years later, are you doing all the post-production again, or are you hiring that off? What does that part look like?
At first, yes. At first, when I first started, I was still wearing all the hats. And I did have help, and Jim was getting, he was helping book guests, so that's why I wanted somebody that knew people, that knew a few people, just like I know a few people, to where getting guests is a little bit easier. Because back then, none of us knew anybody. So it was all a shot in the dark. So we had a lot of people that were, relatively unknown people, a lot of unknown people. But somehow we were still, like I said, God blessed us with the ability to still get very, very talented people on our show. But now we've had some really high profile guests on our show, and it's because of Jim and Chris and me all together, and even the producer. So now I have a producer who will be taking care of recording the show while we're doing the show, video and audio, so that I don't really have to sit there. Because before, I had to, even the start of this one, I had to be on the computer watching levels and watching stuff like that. It's hectic, as you know, because you do it, but it's really hectic when you have a guest and you have two other people beside you, and you're trying to monitor every level and everything, and you're trying to keep the flow going and make sure you keep eye contact, because that's huge. You want to keep eye contact, but you still got to look down and monitor levels. So it's very hard to do that, because then they think you're not listening when you really are listening. But you have things to do, and they don't understand that unless they're podcasters, then they do. Unless they're the big podcasters, then they don't, because they're like, why don't you have a producer? Right. But anyway, so yeah, no, now I have a producer doing that, and I have, he edits the audio, the video. We've not gotten the videos to start releasing yet fully, but that's coming. We're about to start releasing all the videos. And we do we don't just do Zoom. So we do really, really high quality video with ours. Yeah. It's like a four camera setup with ours.
Awesome. Well, that's good to hear that you're able to kind of get out of that part so that you can really rely on a team, a producer, maybe even post-production, so that you can kind of focus on the talent, focus on the entertainment, those fast five questions that change each and every time. When you were talking about your new co-host with the podcast, you mentioned, why don't we try to do this together? I like you. We get along, and we can split this 50-50 regardless of like how much revenue comes in. And with that, I'm trying to think to myself what ways you intend on monetizing your show, or where you are with that, or kind of like just your plan on monetization, if you have one, that might be beneficial to the rest of us who are maybe starting a podcast right now.
I'm not the one to ask on how to monetize your podcast right now, because I'm still in the process of trying to do that. But I will say that I'm waiting on a certain number to where I can go to And then I can look at my demographic and see where they are centralized. And wherever that is, I'm going to go to those first. This is where I'm going to start with the sponsorships, is I'm going to go to the people, companies in that area, and tell them how many people I have that listen to my show in their area, and that they can, that we'll run an ad on there.
Yeah.
Ad on the show for such and such amount. And then you also have, you always have the, like if you release through Podbean, and I'm sure other places, but if you release through Podbean, they have a, you can join the ad program, but you know, I've not seen anything from that. So I don't know how real that is. I think ultimately, if you're trying to become a big dog in podcasting, people always say, I always hear this, like they'll say this, I said this on Clubhouse a lot. They would say, because I was in a lot of those podcasting groups, maybe that's how we met.
Yeah.
And they would always say, if you're getting into podcasting to make money, then you're getting into it for the wrong reason. But I don't like that attitude. I think that you should always set your sights as big as you want to set them. If doing this for a living is what your dream is, your goal is, then that should be your goal. Don't let people steal your thunder and say, well, daggone, never going to make money. So how do I keep going? Because sometimes, even though it sucks to hear and people don't like to admit it, doing what you love and making money doing it is a motivating factor to keep you driven, right? So when you start telling people you're not going to make money podcasting, well, that really just sucks the wind out of their sails. You know what I'm saying? Then they're like, well, I guess I'll just give up then. And I'm sure a lot of people do. But it's the ones, like I said before, it's the ones that don't give up that are the ones that become huge, like Joe Rogan. And someday, I know this right here, God willing, someday, if it's in his plan, my podcast will be just as big as Joe Rogan or Bert Kreischer or any of them. And it's because I know that I put the same type of effort and the same type of entertainment. And it's the, in some cases, more entertaining to me. I'm not bragging, because I'm a little biased, but it entertains more than theirs do. This is maybe not Bert's, but definitely Joe Rogan. I'm not, you know, his, sometimes there's, his just drones on and it's on. And I sometimes wonder where the, how do people listen to this for 3 hours, right? There's a few, it's like the clips are the beautiful things where he takes the clips out and whoever does it, that's the stuff that I tend to hear more than an actual entire episode. But I want people to go to my show and I want them to actually be in tune with it the entire episode, right? I want them to want to hear the whole thing. I don't want them to just want to hear a little clip and that's all they care about. I know you got to divide it up into clips to try to get them into the show, but I don't want them to just stop at a clip. I want them to want to know exactly how this episode went. So that's my goal in podcasting. And I don't even know what question you asked me at this point.
No, it was started about monetization. And one of the things you mentioned is like, if you're getting into podcasting to make money, then you're getting into it for the wrong reasons. It's something that you've heard, but you completely disagree. And I like that as well. My goal, so I help podcasters. I do a lot of support on growing people's audience and helping them to be able to monetize. And so I am focused almost 100% on helping people with podcasts so that they can make money. So I love that you said that. Like I really, really, really do. And then you mentioned something about, it was something we were talking about in the pre-interview. In the pre-interview, I asked you, hey, what do you want to give to the listener, like to a brand new podcaster? And it was basically around like being completely relentless, never quitting. Would you mind sharing that with our listener as well? Kind of what you've seen with other podcasters and why it's important to never quit?
Yeah, it's just the same thing going back to what I said earlier about the statistic of most new podcast, I forgot the exact percentage. I think it was like 90% or some crazy number like that. 90% of new podcasts never get past the 10th episode. So they have this head full of steam and they go, we're going after this thing. And then they start doing it. They're not seeing the numbers that they thought they would see, even on a small scale. They're not seeing it. So then they see it here, but then it goes here and it stays here. It keeps going down. So they just quit and they give up. And I think you're giving up way too soon if you're giving up before you get past 10 episodes. I mean, at least give it 50, right? At least give it 50 and see what happens. But I say don't ever quit. If you're, unless it's becoming unless it's making you a horrible person outside of podcasting, then don't give up. Don't quit it, because it's most likely it's fulfilling something inside of you that God put there to be fulfilled. That's what's happening. So, but just because your carnal mind says, well, I need to see this immediately. We're an instant gratification type society. So nobody wants to put the work in. So when it comes time to work and it gets a little hard, like I said, that's when people give up. But that's the difference in successful people and unsuccessful people, is that the ones that don't give up are the ones that are successful. That's the way you can read. I read biographies and I watch biopics and I see all these success stories and they're all the same. It's the same thread every time. They start off here, they get to here, and it gets a little hard. So it gets to here. Then they almost give up here. Then they come back and they almost give up again. Then they don't give up. And then next thing you know, they're in the stars. So that's the ticket. Don't give up.
So much good. I've been taking lots of notes, Marty Ray. All right. Marty Ray, the singer-songwriter, independent, always will be independent, 1.2 million fans, 200 million views across all social media platforms. He thinks his show is badass, and I would have to agree. You jump over there to the Marty Ray Project. You should find it wherever you find this podcast. Just scroll down. The link's in there as well. So there's that. Marty Ray, before I do this wrap-up, what did you hope, is if there is one thing that you hoped you might be able to mention on this episode today and pour into a new podcaster, what would that be?
Well, the thing I hoped to mention was my own podcast. So we already did that.
But well, everybody knows that you have a badass podcast and they need to head over there and get your, I kind of want to do a five with you, but I don't have time to come up with five super quick questions, but what's your favorite burger at a burger joint?
If you go by fast food burgers,
yeah,
the favorite fast food burger is probably Wendy's.
Wendy's makes a good burger. I like this.
Good. Yeah. But I mean, like I always say, when we get into that question, we start talking about things. I always say, you're not going to give me a burger unless it's cold that I don't like. So my burger scale, unless it's fake. All right. We did one episode where we tested the Impossible Whopper, blind tested the Impossible Whopper versus the Whopper, the real Whopper. And we blind tested it to see if we could tell the difference. And I 100% could tell the difference. Big difference. A lot of chemicals I smelt in that. It was not good to me. But everybody always says, can't tell the difference of stuff. But anyway, yeah. So Wendy's would be my number one fast food burger.
Nice.
That's what I want to put to people. Wendy's.
you need to buy some stock in Wendy's before this episode goes out. On this episode, we talked a little bit about All About That Beard instead of All About That Bass, your little parody, and I've got to look that up. So, Marty, if you do me a favor, send me a link to that so I can throw that into the show notes, because I don't care who's listening. They're curious. They want to see it. They want to hear it. So send me that link as soon as you can. We'll make sure that it's in the show notes before we publish this episode as well. So if you don't send it to me automatic, my team's going to be reaching out to you and being like, I need that link to All About That Beard. I loved the part, and this is a huge takeaway for me, Marty, and I'll make some changes probably in my own podcast because of it. So thank you. I'm grateful to you. It's about the entertainment. Like, some things that I do are entertaining. Sometimes I'm funny, but it's never really been like my first goal. It's been like, oh, that would be great if I could say something funny, or wouldn't it be nice if we laughed, we had some good banter back and forth. But after hearing you explain the importance of it and even comparing your podcast to a couple of other podcasts, and it's definitely hitting home for me that that's something I ought to be focusing on. And I hope the listener pulled that as well. The one thing you hate about podcast is starting it off with, tell me a little bit about yourself. And I hate that too. And I hope the way that you explained it with that disdain, it's like nobody who listened to this episode is going to ever ask that question again, you know?
Please.
I loved also how you mentioned when you started your podcast, you had at least those 10 episodes already ready in the can, ready to go. And there was a few reasons why you decided to do that. So thank you for sharing about that. Also, just talking about like new and noteworthy being harder now than it was before, downloads being harder now than they were before. I just want to share with the listener, if you're having a hard time with your downloads or if you really want to do your best to get on New and Noteworthy, reach out to us, see what we can do to help. I definitely feel confident that I can support you with those two things. So if you're launching a podcast and you know that downloads are hard, you don't want to do it on your own, we got you. And the next thing that I put in is, if you're getting into podcasting to make money, this is a quote that you have heard and I've heard as well, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. I'm with you, Marty. I think you should make money with your podcast. I'm a real estate investor. I've been doing that for a long time. And long time ago, people were talking about, oh, you buy real estate because it appreciates. And don't worry if it cash flows or anything like that. And this is a good analogy for what you were saying. Like, for example, if you buy one house and you're losing a few hundred bucks a month, you can't keep buying lots of those houses. But if you buy a house and it makes a few hundred bucks a month, it's unlimited the amount of houses that you can keep buying as long as they're putting money into your pocket instead of taking it out. And mm-hmm. I think of our podcast as investments as well. We're investing our time into it. We want to get our time back out of it. We're investing money. Unless you do what Marty did in the very beginning, where he was running the whole show, producing it, doing all of that, then you're just investing more time, maybe not so much money. Maybe it's just a 50 bucks a month. But when we're doing this like on autopilot, when we're pouring money into our show, it's best if the show can actually support us and put money into our pockets, because then it's unlimited what we can do. So never be afraid of monetizing. If you're listening, never be afraid of monetizing. Marty mentioned that like 90% of people give up, like they, after less than 10 episodes, and I've seen the same stat. I think I've seen like 90% don't go past 6 or 7 episodes or something like that. But do not give up. I've got a tattoo. I've only got one tattoo, and it's 3 symbols: persistence, determination, endless potential. And what it means to me is something Calvin Coolidge said once: that which we persist in doing comes easier to do. And it's not the talent, it's not the brains, it's not the intellect, it's not all of these other things that we think make you successful. It's that you are relentless. It's that you never give up. So I appreciate what you said so much. I got it tattooed on my arm, no joke. And so I love it. Never give up. If you want to be successful, the only thing you do is outwork, outlast all the other people that quit when the going gets tough. Like Marty's cousin, Marty's brother, Marty's most recent co-host before the one that he has now. They got in, they might have just done one episode, and then they got that big guest 4 episodes later. Marty never quit. That's how you know that he's going to be successful. And that's how I know you're going to be successful. It's because you're going to persist and be determined, and you'll have that omnipotence, that endless potential. If you're listening and, you know what I was going to say? Based on the 50 episodes, Marty, you mentioned like, don't do any less than 50. And if you ask me, I think this is pretty close to a direct quote. If you ask me, you never quit, right? When people come to me and they ask me like, hey, I want to launch a podcast, and I'll have like a discovery call with them. And during the discovery call, I'll say, you have to be committed. I'm not going to work for you. I'm not going to do a dime for you. I don't give a shiz. If you're not going to go for 3 years at least, I'm not going to take this job. I'm not going to support you in your podcast. It's pointless. So back-to-back value about entertainment and what to do to be able to stay into this. Marty, I already have a few links for you so that the listener can connect with you. But if there's another place where they can find you or get a hold of you, would you mind sharing that with us now?
You can just find everything about me at MartyRayProject.com. All my social medias are at Marty Ray Project. They're all there. Merch and the podcast information. It's the Marty Ray Project. Chats everywhere. And that's the way. I do want to say one thing before you go.
Yeah.
You were talking about, I don't want the listeners to misunderstand something that I said. The first thing you brought back was how I talked about comedy and that lightening the mood and disarming people, and how you felt like there was times when you needed to work on that or whatever. I will say that you don't have to be witty or funny to have those moments. I've been blessed with the gift of gab. I can kind of, you know, take jabs at people in a way where they will laugh about it. So it's kind of that way. Everybody doesn't have to be that way. I think that by asking those fast five, I think you are now getting, or anything that you create, if it's just stupid things, then you create a moment where anybody can be funny on both sides. So I think that's why that does that. You don't have to be funny, because if you ask somebody, what's your favorite color from 1 to 10? You know what I'm saying? Then all of a sudden everybody's like, well, what'd you say? And then you start talking about, then you get into a conversation about what your favorite color is from 1 to 10. And then it's just stupid, right? It's just dumb. And everybody's laughing because it doesn't make sense. So it's just a very disarming thing. I think anybody can do it if they ask the right questions. I think it gives everybody an opportunity to be funny. So that's what I would say. Don't think, well, now I got to figure out how to be funny, because you don't. You ain't got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you took the time to say that, really. And thank you for joining us on this podcast. I really, really appreciate it. And I cannot wait to watch this about that beard. All right. So make sure you send me that link. It's going to be in the show notes. I'm going to be checking it out. Thank you, Marty Ray. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, brother.
Two quick things before you go. Number one, if you are looking to upgrade like your podcast equipment or just get your very first affordable microphone, then go to growyourshow.com/PDF. That link's in the show notes. Go ahead and scroll down. On that PDF is 100% equipment for your podcasting studio that I've personally vetted. My team has vetted this. We know that it works. We know that it's affordable, and we don't want you paying more for your podcasting equipment. So again, if you're looking to upgrade your equipment or get your very first inexpensive microphone that works great, that's where you go. And then number two is, got a free course, A to Z, on everything you need to know about podcasting. And you don't have to go anywhere but the podcast in order to access it. You don't have to even give me an email address to access it. It is just the very first 6 episodes of this podcast. So what you'll do is you'll scroll down a bit. You'll click on all episodes and scroll down, because we're hundreds of episodes in. And you'll see the episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 is a free course from A to Z on launching a top podcast. Take advantage of those two things. I'll see you on the next episode.